Pages Alive Theatre presents A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. A Christmas Carol is a beloved Victorian novella by Charles Dickens, first published on December 19, 1843. Due to its popularity, Dickens gave more than 127 public readings of the story, from 1849 to 1870. A Christmas Carol has never been out of print, and has been translated into several languages. Perhaps its popularity is because of how this story inspires audiences. The idea that a bitter, greedy, and hateful heart could be redeemed to kindness, generosity, and love gives us all hope during the Christmas season and all year round.
Was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead. Of course he did. Scrooge and Marley were partners for I don't know how many years. Ah, tight-fisted nose to the grindstone he was. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covered-souled sinner. And once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. A grim, cheerless place if there ever was one. The door of Scrooge's counting house was open, and he might keep his eye upon his clerk, Bob Cratchit.
Yes, sir. 9, 15, 17.
Singing our idiotic Christmas carols at my very door. Go on, get away from my door.
Goodness.
Go somewhere else and bellow your blasted carols, or I'll give you a swift kick.
Why, Governor? It's an old custom at Christmas time, you know.
Yes, and I don't want any of your old customs. Go away. Christmas. Bah. Bah. Now, you get that letter from Higgins and Blackthorne, Cratchit, and then I want you to finish posting this ledger. And after that, you can pop over to Parthegill's and tell Ephraim Parthegill you've come after the 17 shillings and 6 pence he's owed me since Michaelmas. And tell him I shall have a constable over there if he doesn't pay up at once.
Mr. Parthegill's wife has been ill, sir.
Oh? And what do I care about his wife? I want my 17 and 6.
I just thought it being Christmas, sir.
Christmas? Christmas, you mention that word to me once more, Bob Cratchit.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. Merry Christmas, Bob.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
God save you, Uncle.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug? Uncle, now I'm sure you don't mean that.
I mean just that. Exactly that. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you? You're poor enough.
Well, what right have you to be dismal about Christmas, Uncle? You're rich enough.
Bah.
Now, Uncle, don't be cross.
Well, what else can I be when I live in such a world of fools? What's Christmas to you but a time for paying bills without money? Merry Christmas, a time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart, he should.
Uncle!
Now, nephew, keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it, Uncle.
Well, let me leave it alone then. What do you want? A Christmas gift, I have no doubt.
There are many things from which I derive good by which I have not profited materially. I dare say, Uncle, Christmas among the rest. I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe it has done me good, and it will do me good, and I say, God bless it.
God bless Christmas. Hurrah!
Let me hear another sound out of you there, Bob Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation. As to you, nephew, I wonder you don't go into Parliament. You talk enough nonsense
about... Oh, don't be angry, Uncle. I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry you feel that way. A Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year, too.
Bah, humbug!
And a Merry Christmas to you, Bob, and the Mrs. and to Tiny Tim.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Fred. Same to you, sir. Good day, sir.
Good day, Bob.
Nonsense, Twaddle Flummery. Talking of Christmas and not 2 sixpence to jingle together in his trousers pocket. Hey, you there, Bob Cratchit. Come here. What are you doing there?
I'm only putting a little more coal in the fire, Mr. Scrooge. Seeing it's so cold, sir.
Put that coal back into the scuttle. A fire indeed. If you use coal at that rate, you and I will soon be parting company. You understand that, Cratchit? There's many a young fellow who'd like your situation.
I'm sorry, sir. My fingers were getting a little stiff with the cold.
Then put on your mittens. There's someone at the door. Go on. See who it is.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
This is the firm of Scrooge and Marley.
Yes, miss.
I should like to see the head of the firm, if I may.
Oh, very good, miss.
What now?
A lady to see you, Mr. Scrooge.
Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley's been dead these 7 years. Tonight, I'm Scrooge.
Well now, Mr. Scrooge, at this season of the year, it's only fitting that we, who are more fortunate, should raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink. You may not believe it, sir, but many thousands are now in want of common necessities.
Bah!
And hundreds of thousands are in want of the simplest comforts.
Are there no prisons?
Well, there are plenty of prisons, sir.
And the workhouses? And they're still in operation, I trust?
I wish I could say they are not, but they still are, sir.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then?
Both very busy, sir.
Ah, I'm glad to hear that. I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
No, sir, all of these institutions that you mention are flourishing. But it's nevertheless true that some additional provision for the poor and the destitute must be made.
Oh?
A few of us are upon endeavoring to raise such a fund, you see, and, what shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, I see. You wish to be anonymous, sir?
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to help make a lot of idle people merry. I help to support the establishments that take care of the poor. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there.
Many can't go there, sir, and many would rather die.
Then my advice to them is to do so and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I've only your word for it that all this is so.
It is the truth, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, so be it, then. It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon.
I quite understand, Mr. Scrooge. Good afternoon.
Cratchit! Show her out.
Yes, sir. This way, miss, please. I couldn't help overhearing. I should like to...
Cratchit!
Tuppence. Yes, sir. It isn't much, but it's all I can afford. But there are others in a worse situation than I.
You're a generous fellow. I wish I might say so of your employer.
Cratchit!
Yes, sir.
Cratchit!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas. Yes, sir.
Enough of that silliness.
Yes, sir. 24, 31, 1, carry 3, a new scarlet tippet for Tiny Tim, a comb for Martha, 33, 3, and carry 3, a hair ribbon for Belinda, 4, 7, 12, 15.
Cratchit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's too late to have you go to Parthagill's. He'll be closed up for Christmas like the other fools. We may as well close up the place
yes,
now.
Yes, sir. It is getting a little dark. Hard to see the figures.
I suppose you want the entire day tomorrow.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair, either. But I suppose I can't do anything about it. If If I was to stop half a crown of your wages, you'd think yourself ill-used.
Well, sir, I...
Yes, but you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
It's only once a year,
once
sir.
Once a year! Once a year indeed. A fine excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose there's no good talking. You must have the whole day. We'll see that you're here all the earlier the next morning. You understand?
Oh, I will, sir. I will indeed. Good night, sir, and Merry Christmas.
Bah.
Merry Christmas.
Bah.
The office was closed in a twinkling, and though Bob Cratchit boasted no great coat, he went down the slide on Cornhill 20 times in honor of its being Christmas Eve. Then he ran home to Camden Town, as hard as he could pelt to play with his family at Blind Man's Buff. Scrooge, on the other hand, spent the rest of the evening with his banker's book in his dismal house. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. Scrooge walked into his room to see all was right. The sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nothing under the table, nothing under the sofa. Nobody under the bed, and nobody in the closet.
Marley? Marley? No, I could have sworn I saw... Humbug, all humbug. Marley's been dead these 7 years. Humbug, all humbug. What I need is a good night's... What? What's that? Someone's in the wine cellar, but the door is locked and double locked. Something is coming closer. Outside my door? Humbug! I won't believe it. It's humbug still.
Ebenezer Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge!
Marley! Oh no! What do you want of me?
I want much of you, Ebenezer.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Oh, you are very particular for a ghost. All right then. Who were you?
In life I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
No! No, that... No, no, no! Oh, no, Marley, it can't be you, Jacob Marley, no! But you're dead. You died 7 years ago.
7 years ago, Ebenezer, 7 years ago this very night.
You expect me to swallow this?
What's wrong, Ebenezer? You don't believe in me?
I do not.
Doubt your senses, Ebenezer.
Yes, because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You can't be a ghost. You may be an undigested bit of beef, or a blot of mustard, or a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There may be more gravy than grave about you. Whatever you are, humbug, I tell you, humbug! I do believe in you. You are a ghost, Jacob.
Thank you.
But why? Why do you walk the earth, Jacob? Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad his fellow men and travel far and wide to witness what he might have shared on earth and turn to happiness.
Tell me, Jacob, what is that chain you wear around you?
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link, yard by yard, by my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you, Ebenezer?
Hash boxes, keys and padlocks, ledgers and purses?
Yours was as heavy and as long as this 7 years ago, but you have labored on it since, Ebenezer.
Oh, Jacob, speak comfort to me, Jacob.
Comfort? I have none to give. I cannot rest, I cannot stay, I cannot linger. Weary journeys lie before me.
You travel fast?
Yes, Ebenezer, on the wings of the wind.
Ah, 7 years dead and traveling all the time.
7 years, Ebenezer. 7 years of remorse, Ebenezer. Do you know that no space of regret can make amends for one's life's opportunities misused?
But you were always a good businessman, Jacob.
Business? Business? Mankind was my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence, they were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business.
Jacob, don't take on so now. Jacob!
Listen to me, Ebenezer.
I'll listen to you, Jacob. Go on now. Speak to me.
Ebenezer, I am here to warn you that you have yet a chance of hope of escaping my fate. Do you hear that, Ebenezer?
Yes, Jacob. Yes, you always were a good friend to me. But go on. Go on now. How shall I escape? Oh, I am afraid, Jacob.
You shall be haunted by three spirits.
Is that the only chance and hope?
It is your only chance and hope, Ebenezer.
I think I'd rather not.
Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path I tread. Except the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over with?
Ebenezer, look to that for your own sake. You remember what has passed between us. Remember, when the bell tolls one, look for the first spirit.
Marley! Jacob Marley!
Ebenezer Scrooge!
Who's that?
Ebenezer Scrooge, I've come for you.
Are you the spirit, sir, whose coming was foretold?
I am that spirit.
Who? What are you?
I'm the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, you are past.
But what do you want of me? What brings you here to haunt me?
Your welfare, Ebenezer Scrooge. Rise and walk with me.
Where are we? What's become of the city? And there's snow upon the ground. Where are we?
These are the shadows of things that have been. You recognize this countryside?
Oh, I know every inch of it. Every rock, every tree.
And that bleak building over there?
Ah, that building. I was a boy there. Yes, I went to school in that horrible place.
Do you recollect that path?
I could walk it blindfolded.
Strange, you should have forgotten it so many years. Come, let us go closer. Look through the window into that cold, bare room. What do you see, Ebenezer?
I see a boy.
A solitary child, neglected by his family, alone.
Yes, I see. I know that boy. Oh, so lonely. Poor boy.
Your lip is trembling, Scrooge. And what is that on your cheek?
It's nothing. Nothing at all. I wish... it's too late now.
What is the matter?
Nothing. Nothing. The waifs came to my door singing Christmas carols last night. There was a boy like that among them. Poor, pale, thin little boy in a ragged coat. I should like to have given him something. That's all.
Is that all? Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. Let us see another Christmas. Do you know this place?
Know it. Know it. This is the counting house where I was apprenticed. It's my old master. Bless his heart, old Fezziwig. My master, alive again. And hosting one of his Christmas parties. Ah, and there's Dick Wilkins. Dear, dear. Yes, and look, there's Mrs. Fezziwig herself, looking younger than any of them. And the table's all loaded with roasts and cider, mince pie and beer. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have.
That carefree young man, the light heart and cheerful smile, do you recognize him?
Yes, merciful heaven, how happy I was then.
A small matter for old Fezziwig to make those silly folks so full of joy.
Small matter? Small indeed.
Isn't it? He's only spent a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so much that he deserves praise?
It's not that. It's not that, spirit. Old Fezziwig has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make a service light or heavy. His power lies in words and looks and in things so tiny it's impossible to count them up. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it costs...
What is the matter?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all, spirit.
Something, I think.
No.
Speak.
Well, only... It's just that I should have liked to be able to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit. That's all.
This is our last visit to the pass, Ebenezer. Here in this little room, with a fair young girl by your side. Do you recognize yourself, Ebenezer?
No. No, spare me this.
You're older now, a man in the prime of his life. Your face has begun to wear the signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy, the eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No, no, please.
She knows it too, that girl by her side. There are tears in her eyes.
It matters little to you, very little. I know that.
Belle, have I changed toward you?
When we were engaged, we were both poor.
Was it better then? Better to be poor?
Better at least to be happy. You're changed. You were another man then.
I was a boy. You blame me because I've grown wiser? Have I ever tried to break our engagement?
In words, no, never.
In what then?
In a changed nature. In an altered spirit. In everything that made our love any value in your sight. So I release you from your promise. At first, it may cause you pain to lose me, a very brief pain. But soon it will be dim, like a half-remembered dream, an unprofitable dream. And you will be glad to be awakened from that dream. May you be happy with the life you have chosen, Ebenezer.
That's enough. Show me no more. Take me home.
These were shadows of things that have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
No. No more. No more.
One shadow more. Come. Do you see this man, Ebenezer Scrooge? This man might have been you, and that woman beside him, your wife, and that girl. That girl might have been your daughter. She might have called you father. She might have been a springtime in the haggard winter of your life.
Spirit. Let me go. Show me no more. I can't bear any more. Leave me. Haunt me no more. Take me back. Take me back.
On the stroke of one, Scrooge awakened suddenly and sat bolt upright in his own bed. He remembered the words of Marley's ghost and wondered from which direction the second specter would appear. When no shape appeared, he was taken with a violent fit of trembling. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour went by, yet nothing came. Then,
"Awake, Ebenezer Scrooge, and know me better, man." "I am the ghost of Christmas Present. Look upon me. You've never seen the like of me before."
You're different from the other spirit.
"I am here to be your guide to the homes of rich and poor alike."
"Spirit, take me where you will. Last time I went against my will and learned a lesson which is working now. If you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it."
"Touch my robe, Ebenezer Scrooge. Touch my robe."
"Where have you brought me, spirit?"
"A humble dwelling in a humble street."
"It's humble enough."
"Yet there is happiness there."
Who are these people? And who's that woman and the children?"
"These are the family of your clerk, Bob Cratchit. His wife, dressed in a twice-turned gown, yet brave in ribbons, laying the table for their Christmas dinner. And there, assisting her, is her daughter Belinda, and the young man with the fork and the stuffing. That's Master Peter Cratchit. Listen, Scrooge."
"Martha! Martha!
Here's Martha, Mother!
Why, bless your heart alive, Martha, my dear! Merry Christmas to you!
Merry Christmas, Mother!
Merry Christmas!
How late you are, my dear!
Oh, we'd a deal of work to finish up last night. And we had to clear away this morning.
Well, never mind so long as you're here now. Sit ye down before the fire and have a warm, Lord bless ye.
Where's Father?
He's been to church with Tiny Tim. They'll be along directly.
How is Tiny Tim, Mother? Any better at all?
Sometimes I think he is. And sometimes I think, oh dear God, if anything should happen to Tiny Tim.
Mother, you mustn't even think of such a thing. Here they are.
There's Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Martha, welcome, my dear.
Merry Christmas, Father. And Tim.
Merry Christmas, Martha.
Oh, Tim, you darling. Oh, Father, I'm so glad to be home.
And we're so glad to have you, Martha.
And how did little Tim behave in church, Bob?
Oh, as good as gold and better.
I like church, Mother. Oh, how they sing the nicest songs there. I hope people saw me there.
Saw you there? And why, Tim?
Well, don't you see? Because I'm lame. And if they saw my crutch, it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas when made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Oh, bless you, my son.
Come on. Let's eat.
Yes, children, we're all ready. Come take your places now. There's plenty. Stuffing and dressing and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, you take care of Tiny Tim.
Yes, Mother.
You see that he eats plenty. He must get tall and well. Now sit down, everyone.
Now, my dears, shall we say grace?
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
Oh no, kind spirit, say he'll be spared, say he'll live.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
And now, my dears, with such a dinner, a toast. Merry Christmas to us all, and God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
And now, to Mr. Scrooge.
Aw, not Mr. Scrooge.
I give you a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed. Who pays you all 15 shillings a week? I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast on, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
Oh, my dear, the children, Christmas Day.
Well, it should be Christmas Day, I'm sure, on which one drinks of the health on such an odious, stingy, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. You know he is, Bob. Nobody knows it better than you.
My dear, Christmas Day.
I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very, very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
And I say, God bless him too, Mother, and everyone.
There was nothing of high mark in all this. They were not a handsome family, these Cratchits. They were not well dressed. Their shoes were far from being waterproof. Their clothes scanty, but they were happy, grateful, pleased with one another, and contented with the time, when at last they faded. Scrooge had his eye upon them, and especially on Tiny Tim, until the last. Many calls Scrooge made that night, with the ghost of Christmas present. Much they saw and far they went, many places they visited, but always with a happy end.
My life upon this globe is very brief, Ebenezer. It ends tonight. Tonight.
Hark!
The hour has come.
Oh no, not yet. Not yet. There are still more things I wish to learn.
These things you will learn from still another spirit. Still another spirit, Ebenezer.
Scrooge looked about him for the ghost. It had vanished, and he found himself once more in his bed, in his dressing gown, and his nightcap on his head. He remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting his eyes, beheld the third spirit. Slowly and silently, like a mist along the ground, a solemn phantom, shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming towards him.
I know you. You are the ghost of Christmas yet to come. You'll show me the shadows of things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Answer me, spirit, ghost of the future. I fear you more than any specter I've seen. Yet, I know your purpose is to do me good, and as I hope to live to be another man from what I was. Lead on, lead on. The night's waning fast, and the time is precious. Spirit, why have you brought me here again? Here to Bob Cratchit's home? But it's not the same. What? Why is it so quiet? So very quiet.
Mother, please.
Oh, my son. My little son.
Tiny Tim. I loved him so.
Oh, Mother dear, you mustn't. It's almost time for Father to be home. Don't let him see you crying.
Yes, Martha.
He's late tonight.
He walks slower than he used to, and yet I've known him to walk very fast indeed with Tiny Tim on his shoulder.
So have I, Mother.
And he was light to carry, and his father loved him so that it was no trouble.
Good evening, my dear.
Bob, you're late.
Yes, I'm sorry, my dear. I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done your heart good to see how sweet and green a place it is, but you'll see it often. I promised him, yes, I promised Tiny Tim we'd walk there on a
Father,
Sunday.
Dear.
It's God's will, Bob.
I'm trying to understand it, my dear. My son, my little son Tim, and I loved him so.
Oh, that is cruel, cruel spirit. Can't you give me one ray of hope that I may change all that? That Tiny Tim may live? Where are you taking me now? Here on a common street, spirit? What is there for me to learn here? Who are those people?
I don't know much about it either way. I only know he's dead.
I wonder, when did he die?
Last night, I believe.
It's likely to be a very cheap funeral. For upon my life, I don't know anybody to go to it. Suppose we make up a party and volunteer.
I don't mind going if a lunch is provided.
Come to think of it, I'll bet I was his best friend.
What?
We used to nod to each other when we met in the street.
Spirit, help me. Who is that man that died? Is there no one to mourn the poor creature? No one to follow him to the grave? Perhaps they'll give him a green grave, at least, like poor Tiny Tim. Perhaps. Spirit, where are we now? Merciful heaven, a churchyard? Overrun by grass and weeds? Choked with too much burying? Desolate, lonely, crumbling gravestones? Spirit, before I draw near to that gravestone, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that will be, or are they the shadows of things that may be? Will you not speak to me, Spirit? What is that grave to which you point? Now I see it. There's writing on that stone. The name on the gravestone is Ebenezer Scrooge. No, Spirit, no! Hear me, I'm not the man I was. Why show me this? If I am past all hope, tell me that I can change these dreadful shadows you've shown me by an altered life. I'll honor Christmas in my heart. I'll try to keep all the year. I'll live in the past, the present, and the future. And I'll not shut out the lessons that they teach. Tell me, Spirit. Oh, go on, tell me. Tell me that I can sponge away the writing on that stone. Spirit, I beg you. I beg you. Spirit, I promise on my knees. I promise. Oh, why? What's this? It's my own drape. Oh, I am home. In my own bed. In my own room.
And the sun! The sun is shining, it's clear, it's bright! No fog! What a beautiful day! Oh, glorious! Hey, child! Oh, child there!
Yes, sir?
What's today?
What's that, sir?
What day is it, my fine little one?
Today, why, it's Christmas Day!
Ha! Christmas Day! Then I haven't missed it! The spirits have done it all in one night! All in one night! Heaven be praised!
How's that, sir?
Listen, my lad. You know where the poulterer is? In the next street?
I should say I do.
Ha! An intelligent little one! A remarkable child! Tell me, do you know if they sold the prize turkey that has been hanging in the window?
The one as big as me?
How delightful. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
It's hanging there now, sir.
That's wonderful. Go down, will you, and tell him to send it to Bob Cratchit and his family on Broad Street. And mind you, they're not to know who paid for it. Go along. Hurry, hurry. Here, wait a minute. Here's a half a crown for your trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, and a Merry Christmas, sir.
Ha! And a Merry Christmas to you, my good boy. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather, as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. Merry Christmas! A Merry Christmas to everybody! And a Happy New Year to all the world.
I beg your pardon?
Aren't you the lady who came to my office regarding that charity?
Why, yes, sir.
A Merry Christmas to you!
Yes, sir.
Allow me to ask your pardon, and will you have the goodness to accept this little offering?
What? But, Lord bless me, my dear Scrooge, are you serious?
If you please. Now, not a farthing less, a great many back payments are included in it, I assure you. Will you do me that favor?
Well, my dear sir, I don't know what to say to such a munificent.
Now, don't say anything, please. Come and see me. Will you? Will you come and see me?
Oh, I will. I will indeed.
Thank ye. I am much obliged to you. I thank you 50 times. Bless you. Merry Christmas.
And I thank you.
Next morning, Scrooge was early at his office. He went early for a reason. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. That's the thing he set his heart upon. And he did it. Yes, he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. A quarter past. No Bob. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come in. At last, he came. His hat was off before he opened the door, his comforter too. He was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock.
15 and 21, 6 and carry the 1, 24 and carry the 2, 31 and 8 and 9 and...
You, Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
Step this way, Cratchit, if you please. Cratchit, what do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
Why, I am very sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
You are. Yes, I think you are.
Oh, it's only once a year, Mr. Scrooge. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
I'll tell you what, my friend. I'll not stand this sort of thing anymore. And therefore, Bob Cratchit, I'm about to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge? Are you quite yourself, sir?
No, thank heaven I'm not quite myself. Merry Christmas, Bob! Merry Christmas, my good fellow! A merrier Christmas than I've given you in many a year! I shall raise your salary, and we'll see what we can do for Tiny Tim and the rest of your family. We'll discuss it this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop.
Did you say you would... raise my salary, sir?
Bob, make up the fire. Make it up. And buy another scuttle before you dot another I. Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did all, and infinitely more, to Tiny Tim, who did not die. He was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any good old city, town, or borough, in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh, and little heeded them. His own heart laughed. That was quite enough for him. He had no further meetings with spirits, but lived ever afterwards with a right spirit. It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone!
Pages Alive actors are Sarah Strader as narrator and Martha Cratchit, Ian Toll as Bob Cratchit, Weston Zerbe as Ebenezer Scrooge, Harper Logue playing the charity worker and Mrs. Cratchit, Caleb Toll playing Fred and Peter Cratchit, David Corrado playing Jacob Marley, Isaac Zerbe playing Christmas Past and the Child, Sarah Corrado playing Belle. David Toll is playing Christmas Present. Ziva Toll is playing Tiny Tim. Shannon Corrado is playing the townsperson. The Christmas Carolers are current actors with Pages Alive Theater. Eric Corrado created the music for the opening credit and for the Cratchit family theme music. Colin Fawthorpe created piano music for other scenes throughout the show. Pages Alive Theater is produced and directed by Lisa Corrado. We hope you enjoyed this audio drama of A Christmas Carol, the first audio drama produced by Pages Alive Theater. For more information, please visit www.pagesalivetheater.com.